shape destiny. Beginnings that shape destiny. Why don't you put your Bibles down? Let's lift our voice to the Lord one more time. Heavenly Father, before we go into the next part of this service, I pray, Lord, that you would touch every heart and mind that is here, Lord. I pray that we would get out of any distractions, Lord, that we would put all of our focus solely on you, what you want to do in this house. Pray that you would bless these lips of clay, Lord. Let them be used to glorify and edify you, Lord. And to give faith unto the hearers, Lord God, by your precious word that you've given us. Let it be used. Let it be clear. Whatever you need to accomplish, Lord, let it be done here today. We love you. We ask all these things in the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You may be seated here this morning. Amen. Well, we are here the last Sunday of 2024. I see some sad faces. I see some happy faces and see some neutral faces. That's about to be expected. But in 3 days, we will officially be moving in to 2025. It is already 25 years to the new millennial, past 2,000 years. It's just time is flying. But it's during this time of year that normally we take a step back. We look and reflect on our past. We look at the past year, the good things, the bad things. Hope things that are going to be new in the new year. That new year, it represents a fresh start, a fresh chance to have a new beginning. Now, and I'm sure amongst all of us, if you think over your lives, we've all had some pretty menial, some pretty mundane beginnings. Like the beginning of a new work day. I know, don't remind you, but it's pretty mundane. Or the beginning of a song that your toddler asked to continually play over and over and over. That beginning you can probably get rid of, right? And that doesn't go away as they get older, by the way, Brother Brian. It just, the song changes, so get used to it. But I'm sure if we thought just for a few minutes, we could probably look at our lives in the past, and if we really look back, we could point to multiple beginnings that shaped our destiny. Beginnings that change the course of our life. Things like accepting a new job, maybe a new location, brand new, all everything's new. The birth of a child, that will alter your destiny, right, Brother Brian? It will change your life, the new child coming in. But most importantly, the beginning of our walk with God. That beginning will shape not only our earthen destiny, but our eternal destiny as well. It's one of the most important ones you could ever have this morning. And such as in the case in the Bible, there are several beginnings that I would like to talk about just for a few minutes that shaped the course of destiny and how we can look at them coming into the new year. So first and foremost, before getting into those, I believe it's important for each and every one of us to understand that God understands beginnings. Amen? God understands beginnings. Why? Because he and he alone was witness to the very first beginning of everything and every beginning that's after that. Just think of it. God has witnessed every beginning in history. There was nothing before him. There will be nothing after him. He saw every beginning. Revelation 1:8 says, I am Alpha and Omega. I am the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is, which was, which is to come, the Almighty. He understands beginnings. Exodus 3:14, that we talked about this morning. God said unto Moses, I am that I am. Thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Now you think about that phrase on its own, I am that I am. It seems like a little nonsensical in our mind. Maybe it seems like Popeye, I am that I am kind of thing. And that's not the case. So what God is revealing here is that he has no equal. He is that he is. If you put an equal sign and you're trying to balance the equation, you have God on one side, you can only have God on the other side. Amen? It's not like some people want to put, well, you know, if I have God on this side as the good, then I have Satan on this side as the bad. No, there is no equal. I'm going through Riley, we go learning algebra. That means I'm learning algebra with her, reading. And we talk about balancing those equations. That means if I'm on this side, everything that's on this side has to balance. These numbers have to balance. That is not even a comparison between God and the rest of Satan, all of hell, death, the grave, any of that. It does not equal. I am that I am. God equals God. There's nothing but him. God told Moses his name is I am also because God simply is. There was no beginning to God. There will be no end to God. There's never a time when he didn't exist. And there'll never be a time when he ceases to exist. So our God is a God of beginnings, and he understands the importance of them. The very first beginning that really shaped destiny, if you think about it, is one of, in my opinion, the most powerful beginning in the whole Bible, and that is in the act of creation itself. In Genesis, which is probably these few verses, the most read verses in all of Scripture, because that's where all Bible plans start, so I got to think Genesis 1 gets hit all the time. I mean, Numbers, not so much, but Genesis is getting hit, so Genesis 1:1-5, very familiar portion of Scripture. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and the darkness was upon the face of the deep. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light, and that it was good. God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day. He called the darkness night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. The very first verses of the Bible, we see God speaking into a state of chaos and darkness. Verse 2 says, the earth was without form. It was void. The Hebrew words for these are tohu and for without form and bohu for void. It describes, it means empty, formless, and desolate state. Yet in this formless void, God moved. His word transformed the emptiness into a place of beauty, a place of order, and a place, of, most importantly, of purpose. It has purpose. I just recently had this discussion with Riley as well that, you know, really no matter how people want to think creation happened, it takes faith to believe whatever it is you believe. I just personally think it takes a little less faith to think that all of this was designed by an intelligent creator who had a purpose and a plan in mind from the beginning of what we know as time of all these systems working than it just randomly happened over a course of however many long years. That's just my personal opinion, but I believe that if we look into, because nowhere else in nature do you see order come from chaos. We don't see darkness and everything falls in line. We see the opposite, in fact. We see order, with everyone gets involved, devolves into chaos. So God had a plan in mind from the beginning. We know he had a plan because God is, and we know this, that in the chaos, he is not a passive observer of the chaos. He didn't just look there and say, oh, well, this is, whatever's going to happen, happen. Good luck. Now, I said it. Now, no, he is actively involved in shaping his creation. Just like he spoke at the very beginning and caused worlds and galaxies and all these systems collide, the great creator creates us as well. He had a purpose in mind. He doesn't just sit on the sideline and say, well, I'm going to start a new thing in them. But no, good luck. I started it. Go your way. No, he is there the whole way. He said, I made this. It is good. He made you and I, and he said, it is good. I have a purpose for you. I have a drive for you that I want you to accomplish. It's a good thing. Amen. He's actively involved. He speaks, and with the word, he brings order from light in dark, from darkness, from life, and from nothingness. That creation from God's word, it's not just a historical event as well. It's ongoing. He didn't just stop creating. When he rested, he didn't rest forever. He said God rested from his creation. He's still a creator today. Amen. So perhaps in 2024, this past year, for the ones that had the sad faces, maybe you've had some moments of void and darkness in your life. Maybe you've struggled with confusion or some overwhelming challenges as the world seems to get crazier and crazier. And I'm here to tell someone this morning that just as God spoke into the chaos of creation and brought life, he can speak into your life this morning. He can look into the darkness, into the void where you say, there's this part of my life that is missing. He can create something new in it this morning. Amen. His creative power is not limited to the past, but it is ever working, ever present, still today in the year of 2024, seem to be 2025. He was the creator. He is the creator. He will always be the creator. He's in the business of creating new things. He creates a way when there seems to be no way. No matter what last year looked like, it may have been filled with chaos and confusion or challenges, God can bring light into your darkness this morning. He creates something new, no matter how barren or broken it may feel. He can spark life out of the rubble of your past. You may be looking at me this morning, you may say, well, Brother Heil, you don't know what I have in my past. You don't know the things that I've done. You don't know the chaos that I'm in right now, the situation that I'm in right now. You know, if I tell you, you wouldn't even believe my story. You may not believe my life. And you know, you're 100% right. I may or may not know your story. I may know pieces. I may not know all. But the fact of the matter is, it doesn't matter if I know. Because God already knows. And it's not for just, I know if it's not just for me, it's for everyone this morning. Can I tell someone this morning, God is not scared of your past. I'm going to say that one more time. God is not scared of your past. He looks at it. He was there when it happened. He saw it all through up to this point in time. And it doesn't disqualify you from what God wants to do in your life. It doesn't say you've done X, Y, and Z, so now you're out. No, he has a plan for each and every one of us. No matter what our past looks like, it matters what our future is going to look like when he creates a new thing in us. The world may judge you, yes. There may be consequences for your actions, yes. But to God, his arms are always open. It doesn't matter what the world says. It matters what God says. He looks with open arms and he stands at the door and he knocks. Or maybe he's already let into your heart, but you have a secret place in there. God stands there too and knocks and says, I want all of you. I don't just want the parts that you show to everyone. I want the parts that you don't show, the parts that we don't want to talk about, the parts that seem dark and I have this struggle. No, God says, let me into that part. Let me take care of that situation. Let me talk to those individuals because I'm reaching for them. He stands with open arms. The thing is, we have to be willing to go into his arms. We have to be willing to say, Lord, make me. Lord, shape me, Lord Jesus. Whatever your will is, Lord, I want to be in your will. God can create order from chaos. You talk to some people, you say, well, how is it? Oh, it's crazy. It's chaos. I know the one that can make order out of chaos. I know the one that can make sense out of nonsense. God and God alone. We can try to fix it, but it reminds me of a joke. Brother Jeff, you'll like this one. It reminds me of a joke they talked about. It says, God was once approached by a scientist. And he said, listen, God, we don't need you anymore. These days, we can clone people. We can transplant organs. We can do all sorts of things that we used to be considered miracles. We can do that now. God replied, you don't need me. Okay, well, let's put your theory to the test. Why don't we have a competition to see who can build a better human? Scientist is like, okay, yeah, that's fine. So God declared that they're going to build their own human. He says, I want to do it the same way that it was done in the beginning as well, just so you know. And the scientist says, fine, yeah, that's okay. Scientist bends down and he picks up a thing of dirt and starts molding. God says, whoa. Yeah, you're going to have to get your own dirt. It shows that no matter what in our lives we try to fix it with our own hands, no matter what the substance, no matter the teaching, no matter what it is, we're building on the building blocks of the Creator who put it in the first place. We are just taking those and saying, God, if you haven't already, do it in my life. I can't do it with my own hands because I'm going to mess it up. Let God put your hands in the Creator of, put the your as a creation, put your life in the hands of the Creator. That way you don't have to get your own dirt. Because God already provided it. We're all just dirt bags anyway, so it's fine. If we put our lives, though, in the great Creator's hands, something wonderful can come from it. If we submit to the process, amen. So creation, the first beginning that shaped all of our destiny, all of humankind, all of the world's destiny was at creation. He wants to create something new. The second one is from Genesis, but it's also related to the story of Abraham. In Genesis 12, God calls Abraham to embark on a journey. It's not only going to change his life, but it's going to change everything else that comes after it. For the nation of Israel, for pointing forward to Jesus and his salvation and what he gives for us. Genesis 12, 1 through 3 says, "Now the Lord says unto Abram, get thee out of your country, from thy kindred, from thy father's home, and unto a land that I will show thee. I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless them. I will curse thee that curse them, and in thee that curse him that cursed thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." In this moment, God is calling Abraham to leave his homeland, leave his family, leave his comforts, and all of his securities that he had in the land of Ur of the Chaldeans. For Abraham, this wasn't just a move from one place to another. You know, God didn't just say, "Hey, I want you to move from, you know, that wicked land of Illinois and move into the Missouri, the land filling with milk and honey." Just joking. It wasn't just a location change for Abraham. It was everything that he knew. It was everything that he understood and felt comfort in. His land, his family, his relatives, all his connections. He said, "No, leave all that behind and follow me." And see, when he left all this stuff, he left it for a promise that he didn't even fully understand himself. He said, "I'm going to make of thee a great nation." Abraham's like, "A nation? A whole nation from me." And when he told this part, Abraham was already old, like old, like really old. And so Abraham had to be thinking, "Lord, you're asking me to do these things. You're going to make a nation out of me. I don't understand everything." Abraham didn't have the full picture. He didn't know exactly what he was going to do, yet God called him to act in faith. Walk in faith. Trust that God had a plan that was bigger than him. How many of us this morning can attest when God asks something of us, we don't always see the full picture? Most all of us. Anyone ever had the full picture? That'd be amazing, yeah. Usually not. He may have promises of what's going to happen. He doesn't show you the journey as well, though. It would be nice. It would be nice to know. But if we knew, would we be walking by faith? No, we would be walking by sight. We would be walking by man's understanding. It says, "God, you have this thing. I'm going to do this, and then I get there." And then we would just do it. We don't have to say, "God, what's the next step? God, what you started me here. What's the next thing that you want me to do? God, this opportunity opened up. Should I do this one? Should I do something?" No, God says, "I have a plan for you. Walk in faith with me." We didn't see. If we did see the whole picture, we would probably be really scared as well. I mean, Pastor, whenever you receive the Holy Ghost, right after that, God said, "Hey, you're going to be a missionary. You're taking your family. You're going to be a pastor. You're going to be in global missions," right? Being like, maybe I don't want that. Sounds a lot. That's a lot. Maybe I don't want to do all that. No, it's step by step. He's one foot in front of the other. This thing leads to the next thing, He says, "Lord, I don't know where I'm going, but I'm going with you. Whatever it takes me, I'm going to follow after you, Lord Jesus. Because if I walk in you, there's promises that come with following that." He didn't just say, "Walk out in faith." He gave him promises. He said, "I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to bless those that bless you. I'm going to curse those that curse you." God's saying, "I have your back. Just walk with me. Put your faith in me." He gives him promises. We may not see how the pieces fit together, but we can trust that God's plan will bless us. And ultimately, it's not about us. It's to be a blessing to other people. That's what ministry is about in the first place. It's not to say, "Oh, look at these accolades. Look at these congratulations." No, it's not about any of that. God says, "Let me bless you so that you can bless other people." He said, "A great nation will come from you." He didn't say you will be a great nation. He said, "Your lineage, you're down the eons of time, a great nation will come for you if you put your faith in me. Walk with me." The journey wasn't quick. There's a lot of twists and turns along the way. Abraham had to wait many years for the fulfillment of God's promise. But just like that, God doesn't always give immediate results to all of us as well. If you're here this morning, you've been working in something, give it time.
If God calls you to do it and you feel this is what I'm called to do, give it time. It doesn't always give it mostly doesn't give immediate results. And that can be frustrating to us because we're a result-driven people. I do something, I get a result. I do this thing, I get this thing. Logic, everything, no. God says, I know logic. This is faith. This is not what your understanding is. This is faith. Trust in me, walk with me, and the results will come. Behind the scenes, God is shaping and molding us for the future that he has in store. That future may be unknown, but the one who calls is faithful, and he knows you're in the right spot. He'll fulfill every promise to you. As we look to 2025, maybe someone in here, God's calling you to step out in faith, to be like Abraham. There may be areas of our life where maybe God is asking us to get rid of some old things, some old habits, some old patterns in our lives, some old thinking that we might have. And God says, I have a greater purpose for you, but you're going to need to let go of some things. You're going to need to put some things in my hand and just let them go because I have a greater design. I have a greater purpose for you. And you can't do it if you hold on to these things. You can't do it. And I know that's not an easy task. We are all creatures of habit. Very much of habit. So starting something new or getting rid of something we've done year after year, day after day, can be hard. But as I tell my daughters, just because it's hard doesn't mean we shouldn't do it. You say, well, it's hard. Yeah, I know. But we still have to do it. Homework is hard. I know. You still have to do it. It's the same here. God says, I have some things for you. It may be hard. I know. But it's going to be worth it. It's going to be worth it. And if you do step out, you find yourself being a little bit uncomfortable or a lot uncomfortable, good. That means you're probably in the right spot. You're probably right where you need to be for that moment. Because God didn't say, I'm going to make you comfortable the whole way. He didn't say, he said, I'll be there. I'll hold your hand. He didn't say it's going to be puppy dogs and rainbows the whole time. No, no, no. He said, it may get uncomfortable. I may have to stretch you. I may have to do some things I'm not used to. I have to talk to other people. Oh, Lord, are you sure about this? It's not comfortable. I know. But I need you to. I need you to. So if you're uncomfortable, good. It's good. The new year brings a sense of fresh opportunity, and with it comes the challenge of maybe stepping into something a little new. Stepping, like Abraham, we may not see the whole picture, but we do is what 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, we walk by faith and not by sight. Our sight sees this, this, this. God's like, yeah, yeah, but over here is where you really want to be. So Lord, direct my sight. Don't let it be my sight. Let it be your sight, God, that we walk by. Amen. Step out. The third one, beginning that shaped destiny, just as Abraham did, just as creation did. The ultimate beginning that shaped destiny in Scripture. It's found in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Through his death, his burial, his resurrection, Jesus offers everyone the incredible opportunity to have a new life. This new beginning is a great way to a fresh start for anyone that has never heard of him, that hasn't walked with him. You have that new birth experience, baptism, repentance, receiving the Holy Ghost. Oh, it's an amazing thing. But it wouldn't be possible without the resurrection. The amazing thing about the resurrection, as I think about as well, is the grand narrative of Scripture. This was God's plan from the beginning. We talked about creation. He had Jesus in mind. He said, you know what? I'm going to come to earth, and I'm going to set up all this. So we have to go through normal time, but I have a plan from the beginning. It's not like he, like I said, he's actively involved. It wasn't like he just created humans and like, okay, good luck. And then they all messed up because we do. And it's like, oh, I now have to fix this. He had a plan. He has a plan for me. He has a plan for you as well. John 1:1-5. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. The life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness. The darkness comprehended it not. The same today. light shines in this dark world. The darkness does not understand it. Revelation 13 and 8 says, all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life, for the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He had a plan in mind. Creation was made with the resurrection of Jesus in mind, the ultimate sacrifice for sin. It culminates God's redemptive work in Christ, breaking the power of sin, of death, of the grave, of hell, of it all. He broke it with his resurrection. It's not just for what happened to Jesus as well, because it's for what happens for us today as a byproduct. As we read in our opening scripture, there we go. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. We are a new creature because God gave us the opportunity to become new through him. It's not just a metaphor. It's not just a different promise. It's real. It's transformative, and it's for everyone under the sound of my voice. Everyone in Belleville, the United States, the world, the universe, if there's other stuff out there, I don't know. But God is good enough for everyone. Because of the resurrection, we are no longer defined by our mistakes. I talked about God doesn't care about your past. When you become a new creature, that past is pretty much under the blood. The humans, oh yeah, I remember that. I remember that. No, I've repented. I've been under the blood. All those sins are under. You're no longer defined in God's eyes by what you've done. It's not like, yeah, you're a new creature in Christ, but what about all that stuff? All that baggage? No, that does not matter anymore. Our failures, our identities, it does not matter. We have a new identity in Christ, an identity that's marked by his righteousness, his holiness, and his power to transform. We are a new creature. Ephesians 4, 22 through 24 says, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Absolutely. But be renewed in the spirit of your mind that you may put on the new man, which is after God, created in righteousness and true holiness. As mentioned this morning, our lives should reflect that transformation. It's not just we take on a new identity, then I go back doing the same old same that I've done. No, I am a new creature in Christ. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are made new. I don't walk the same way that I walked. I don't talk the same way that I walked. I love differently than when I did before. I act nicer maybe than what I did before, because God took those things and said, God, I want to please you. I want to walk after your example, oh Lord God. You love us no matter what. But I want to be holy like you, God. I want to treasure the things you treasure. I want to hate the things that you hate, because I am a new man. I am a new creation. Everyone say new creation. Maybe in 2024, we've struggled with those mistakes and those failures. We put them under the blood and we say, no, I keep getting reminded about them. I can't get away from them. Perhaps we've wrestled with feelings of unworthiness or inadequacy. I'm here to tell you today, if you've been born of the water and of the Spirit, those things do not define you anymore. In 2025, let those things go into the past. Don't drag them up anymore, because they are not who you are in God's eyes. Don't let condemnation bring you down, because those things are old. You are a new creature. Your past doesn't dictate what your future can hold. Amen. All your past did is lead you up to a certain point when you had a beginning that shaped your destiny. When you made the decision in your mind that says, you know what, God, I am going to follow you. Not because my wife wants me to, not because my parents want me to, not because anyone else wants me to. I want to follow you. Church, we have to have that revelation. We can't serve God for other people. You just can't. If it's not in your heart, you're just following some actions and saying, well, this is what everyone... No, you have to have a hunger inside of your heart that says, I don't care what everyone else does. I don't care if everyone else falls away. I will follow you. I will walk after you day after day after day. Others fall to the wayside. Other ones that I know that loved have fallen away. But God, I stand here. I will follow you. And as you enter into this new year, God's inviting us to step into that new life, to own that new life that God has promised for each and every one of us. If you're holding on to those old habits, if you're holding on to that old thinking, that old way of life, let it go. Let it go. Because the power, the resurrection power of Christ, it's available for you today. If you, I know most of this house have already received it in Jesus' name. I'm so thankful for that as well. But if you haven't, this morning you can. Just because we're in that middle place between Christmas and New Year doesn't mean God doesn't touch during that year. We have water in the baptismal tank. We have an altar. We have wherever you are that you can repent of your sins, be baptized, and receive the wonderful gift of the Holy Ghost, which is a gift from God to have that resurrection power inside of you today. You too can be transformed. You don't have to wait for a future moment. You don't have to. Tomorrow is not promised. We may not make it to 2025. We have 3 days. Tomorrow's not promised. Today is the day. Today is the day. Today is the day. By His Spirit, you can begin to walk in the newness of life. Amen. Shall we all stand? We have our praise singers. Go ahead and come back as well. Hallelujah. No matter what's happened, no matter how far we feel that we failed or that we've fallen short, in Christ we can begin again. The old is gone, the new has come. And that's what the power of the gospel is. The death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ. It's called good news for a reason. It's called good news because God had a plan for salvation. His name, God, the name of Jesus, God's my salvation. No mistake is irredeemable. No past is too broken. As we pull in this new year, I pray that we would let that revelation sink deep in our hearts. And I know all of us know, but sometimes it's just good to have a reminder that says, God, I needed to hear that today. I know it. We may, many of us in this house know it. But do we think about it? Do we know it in our heart of hearts? The resurrection assures us that with God, there's always a possibility for a new beginning. Tomorrow could be a new beginning. If the day after that, that can be a new beginning. Day after day, walking, saying, Lord, this is a new day. This is a new time. I'm walking in you, growing stronger in you. Let's embrace the new life that Jesus has offered us. Let's let the resurrection power transform our heart, our lives, our speech, our mind. Sometimes our mind needs to be transformed. Empower us to live the way He wants us to. We can begin again day in and day out. Amen. This morning, I'm going to invite us to come to the altar here this morning. And what I want us to do as we think about going into the new year, if you've had in your past something that just keeps hitting, I don't know why I keep hitting on this point. I just feel so strong. That if there's something there that you just feel that's been beating you up, that's just been not able to get rid of it, I invite you this morning to come and give it to God. If you've never received the gift of the Holy Ghost, I invite you to come this morning. And if you're here under the sound of my voice and you want to walk into 2025 with a new purpose or a continuing one that says, God, you've led me through this year. I'm going to go into the next year believing you, Lord. And I want to be moved by you, Lord. I want you to have to do in my life whatever it is that you ask of me, Lord God. Here I am. Here I am. I ask you this morning, I invite you to come as the praise singers sing and as we start to pray here together. Would you come? The word's gone forth. Let the drawing of hearts, Lord, happen. Lord Jesus, I pray over this house here, oh God. Oh, have your way, oh Lord Jesus. Move in our hearts and lives here today, Lord Jesus. Let us not be the same that we were before. Let us be renewed and refreshed in you, Lord Jesus. Let's be renewed in our minds. Let's be transformed in our spirits here today. I pray, oh Lord God. Let your will be done, Lord, in Jesus' name.